Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
And I'm Christine Marie.
Yes, you are. We're in the midst of the holiday season.
Right. Life here in the good. Midst.
Yes, just in the midst of it all.
How are we coming across, Julie? You're messing with the tools here.
Oh, good enough.
Good enough.
We're popping and going and all that good stuff.
But we're okay.
We're good. Yeah. Okay. You're coming incredibly loud, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I like that.
I know you do. Yeah.
I wanted to start out by saying an expression that I heard. I don't know who said it, but youth is wasted on the young.
Yes.
Do you know that expression?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, the guy who wrote Huckleberry Finn and all those guys.
Mark Twain?
I think it was Mark Twain, yes.
I would not think that.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, well.
I would think it'd be more like Hemingway or Tennessee Williams or...
Well, we can find out. Yeah, right. The truth is,
Lenny Bruce.
No,
are you checking right now?
Of course I am. You know,
is this now? What are we betting on? What are you going to give me if I'm right and you're wrong?
Just the competitiveness that you have that you're right.
Yeah, just that is good enough to win.
Yes.
Why am I so competitive?
What's it again? What's the quote?
D'Antoni is so youth is wasted on the young. I've been feeling that way a lot lately, you know, just
have you?
Like you're...
Ooh, George Bernard Shaw.
Of course. Of course. That sounds very Shaw-ish.
Does it?
Yes. I mean, just think about it, though, you know?
Yeah.
Just think about all these 20-somethings.
Yes.
They shun cars.
I remember being 20 and feeling like, I guess I'm going to ask you, before you were married and pregnant, because you were, I mean, and
or pregnant and married.
Pregnant and married. Yeah. That's the right word. You were 19.
Yes.
And literally, it was the best year of your fucking life.
Yes.
The best year.
And was it wasted?
How was it? Was it wasted on you?
Yeah. You know, I wish I had some of those years back, for
right.
sure.
I mean,
to be like, I love Echo in the Canyon.
Right.
By Jacob Dylan. That documentary on Netflix, it's
yes.
called Echo in the Canyon. And the song from that whole album is called Going Back.
Mm-hmm.
And that song, every time I hear it, you know, and there's one line that said, you know, when we were young, we knew the truth.
Yeah.
And you really, at that age, know what you know, and it is your truth. And then over the course of years, decades, that truth gets compromised. And everything
right.
breaks down and it gets a little gray and a little wonky. And it was a lot easier back then to know what you know. And it was a lot easier to... I think save the planet. You know, I mean, I see these guys that they're, hey, my friend and I, we've saved 2 million tons of plastic from the ocean by selling these bracelets,
right?
You know, or what else are the, or like, hey, we knew that the big Great Barrier Reef is dying and all the fish died because the water got too hot. But we look back and we realize that there was some recordings of the ancient barrier reefs. And so we decided to take that music and put it underwater. And the fish came back and we're saving the, you know, and I'm like, dang, you know.
Yeah.
These guys are young and they're able to do that stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean, for me, I'd like, okay, yes, I do drink water out of a plastic bottle.
Yes.
And I do.
Shame
but,
on you.
But I do save the planet in other ways.
Yeah, you do.
Know?
You 100% do.
Yeah.
And, well, I just think it's very interesting the way you're talking because...
You can see my confusion, right?
I can see your confusion, but, yeah. You know, I'm going to say a couple of things. This is my cynical side or whatever. You know, wouldn't it be interesting to know at the exact same time they started playing music... The tides changed. the temperature in the water dropped a little bit, or the big fish left and I don't feel threatened, and then the fish came back.
Right.
Like, wouldn't it be wild if there was some other underlying thing than just they played the underwater sounds of the barrier reef?
Yes, yeah.
I don't know the truth.
No.
But who cares? The end result is
yeah.
it now just happened.
Yeah, but see, for them, that was the truth.
Right.
And it was good enough to bring the fishies back.
Exactly. And maybe yeah. that's it. Maybe just your intention alone.
Yeah, but you have to be young enough to believe that that could happen.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think that's what you're talking about.
Normano said that, what was he saying that, or was it you? Your best ideas come in under 30 years of age. Your best ideas come. And then you spend, if you're a professor or somebody in research or education,
right.
you spend the rest of your life trying to prove
that
one theory yeah. out. You know?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is, I mean, I say these things, I've heard them before. And yet, you know, I can give you statistics or outliers, like the guy who wrote, you know, Moby Dick. He was 62, mm-hmm. right? Melville?
Yeah, right.
So we know there's tons of people, but they could be the outliers.
Right.
Where just like...
They're not in the outlier.
They're not in the bell curve.
Of the bell curve,
yeah,
right.
They're not, yeah. That they're the ones that create something where you're like, oh, you're past your prime there, young man. You shouldn't be.
How dare you?
How dare you create a wonderful work of art?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hello? He's 62 years old. Of course he could write a story about chasing your whale.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, who
You've
else?
Got some...
Do you think a 22-year-old
yeah.
have enough pain to write that book?
I agree. I was listening to Joe Rogan. He was interviewing Michelle Wolf, who's a
yeah.
kind of a newer comedian, but her second Netflix special
yeah.
dropped this
yeah.
week. I did see her first one.
Uh-huh.
And compared to the between the first and the second, she's grown.
Yeah,
she's grown.
Good.
She's older.
Mm-hmm.
She is more weighty, has more gravitas,
mm-hmm.
you know, more life
yeah.
to bring to the plate. And that I think increases your humor.
Yes. I think you're right. I'm sorry, I got distracted there for a second because it looks like our computer is not plugged in. It's just on battery. I don't know why.
But shall we check?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, so we're back again. And yeah, we were talking about Michelle Wolf and how I felt that her comedy was deeper and
mm-hmm.
and what was more relevant. And
right.
she just seems to have lived more of a life.
Right.
You know?
And I remember being, we were talking this morning about times in our life where that competitive spark kicked in and it worked out to your advantage.
Right.
And you accomplished something that you really wanted. It took a lot of hard work, but you did it.
Yeah.
And I remember, and you know, there were a couple of times in my life where, and they all are around us, something that's a finite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's an event, you did it, and then you moved on.
Yeah.
You know.
But that you could accomplish it if you tried, if you worked hard.
And I go, I wonder if I could take these things and go, you know, because I'm listening to, you know, Zig Ziglar, I'm listening to, you know,
Jeff Canfield.
Yeah, who I adore. I don't know why I adore him.
I know you do.
Well, he gets on my list. Listen, he's not perfect. I have heard him say ridiculous shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. But I understand the point he's trying to make,
right.
which is take responsibility for every part of your life.
Yeah.
And then he'll say something like, even if you have cancer, take responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, dude. And he goes, like me, I have this thing I wear that defends off these kind of, you know,
radiation. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Okay, got it. Gotcha. You're hitting the point home.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jack Canfield, but if you look at him, he doesn't look like the blue ribbon for health.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bigger dude,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then you go, there are just guys who are just bigger dudes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be a bigger woman necessarily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, she's a pretty of health. She's just a bigger girl,
yeah.
bigger gal,
yeah.
bigger bones,
yeah.
you know? And so forth. But, what else was I talking about? but he says there are things he goes, I was relaying a story about how this person was talking about how he could accomplish some goals so easily
mm-hmm.
and other goals just never come for him.
Right.
Never, he can never accomplish them, never. And why is that? And talking about using all the tools in your repertoire and in your toolbox. Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem. There are some goals that you could really accomplish, but they do require a massive amount of energy and a massive amount of alignment.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about alignment in our, you know, I think Greg Braden talks about it as resonance. You know, back in the day, it was just alignment. Now it's resonance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, your actions, they're all in alignment. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, now I believe this, that sometimes you could just have your actions go and you're still getting results.
You know?
If you're doing the right stuff.
Well, like Adam Carolla said, you know, I have people all the time telling me, asking me, how did you make it?
Yeah.
I'm, you know, I'm really trying hard. I'm doing everything I can. And he said, I tell him, I don't effing know.
Yeah.
I don't effing know anymore.
Except I just keep doing stuff.
I just don't know how I did it. It was just a long time. It was a lot of it was happenstance. A lot of it was luck. A lot of it was working for free.
Yeah.
And the reality is, like, you know, we work hard.
Yeah.
I mean, and if somebody says to you, if you work hard, you're going to be highly successful. You will be in the upper echelons. You will crush it.
Yeah.
You will nail it. And that is not true.
Well, and it also depends.
I'm going to say it's not true.
Well, and it also depends on what you mean by crush it. Does that mean, like, Doug has an example of what crushing it for him means. He literally would like to have enough, his business bring enough money so he doesn't have to work anymore. He can just pop in, quote unquote, manage it. You know, he would hire a manager, quote unquote, be the big guy on campus, walk in and then walk out and, you know, do what else. I go, honey, guess what? You basically do that now.
He does it now. That's his life.
But he doesn't feel he can do it because he doesn't have the unlimited supply of cash that he would like to have.
Right.
He's abundant enough. I mean, the guy could, you know, but he doesn't have that unlimitedness, you know, which is what he would like. And that stuff is never there, you know.
And then now we're talking about a mindset, too.
100%. Talking about a mindset. Yeah. And, you know, like, what is it? I mean, it's nice to ask someone who's been working for 25 years in the business, how did you get here?
Yeah. What are you
doing?
Well,
25 years ago.
Right.
You know,
Michelle Wolf said in this interview with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And she said, I was working in finance on Wall Street.
Yeah.
And I went to a comedy club.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, you can do that?
Yeah.
You actually can do that?
Yeah.
And because I was really tired of wearing a quote-unquote suit every day.
Right.
And literally not understanding any of the, you know, instruments she was selling or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think she worked for Bear Stearns, which actually went under.
Went under.
You know? And so she just said, well, I'll just go to a lot of comedy stores and then I'll just start writing my own quote-unquote jokes. Or you have to, you know, look at the best and see how they do it.
Yeah.
It's just not, everybody thinks to be a comedian, you know, your jokes are, oh, why the chicken cross the road?
Yeah.
You know? But in real comedy, you have to have a point of view that involves some kind of pain or something.
Yeah.
Or foibles. And you have to usually make it around yourself or your family. Make it personal, not make it about the others, you know.
Well,
I was watching I spent the whole week watching the third season of The Marvelous Miss Maisel. And of course, I mean, that show is like A++, awesome. You know, to me it's just like can't be, but it's all about, a lot of it's about comedy.
Right.
And about what it's like to be on the road and I mean, I don't know how she remembers all her jokes, but that's the one thing I can't do. Because I'll have like a thread that you and I are talking about.
Right.
And I want to go there and then I'm off to the races and something else.
Right.
Don't even know how I got there. But Michelle was talking about, I think it was an abortion she had, you know, and dad was saying, he goes, it was kind of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I go, yeah, that's kind of what comedy is. It's like you take what is uncomfortable
and
you
amplify it. You amplify it.
It's kind of like Lenny Bruce.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. That's what I was kind of trying to. And she, I thought this, she had this great point that sometimes you hear other comedians do the same kind of stuff, only in a little different ways.
Yeah.
She said, you know, here's the thing that if I had a child, a boy child, a man child, here's what I don't understand. I've never heard mothers say this. She goes, look, you have a boy child, you go through, if he gets circumcised or not, you make sure his penis is okay, you wash and bathe it for the first 5-6 years of his life or whatever, and then he grows up and you never see his penis again. Don't you want to know what your boy child's penis looked like? You grew it. You cooked it in your body. Don't you ever want to know what it looks like? And I had never, ever heard
anybody
talk about that.
And is that true?
I mean, I have maybe once, you know, you kind of, you know, wonder or something.
Like, did you ask Normano? Has he ever seen
Greg? I did ask Normano.
Greg Reese.
Norm asked me, because we were watching it together. Yeah. And he said, well, have you ever had that thought? And I said, well, maybe once, you know, but.
Like, just curious. I'm like, I wonder if he's endowed or not endowed.
Kind of like, you know, and I go, well, have you seen it? He goes, oh, yeah, I've seen it. I go, well, he goes, oh, it looks just like mine. I go,
now, great. Thanks, Norm. Now, I guess that's too much information.
That's like,
I don't need to know that.
Because I know my brother John is hung.
Yes, I do know that too.
Yeah, and so I've always thought, well, maybe, you know, he went.
I don't know for sure. I mean, I'm guessing he is.
Which is not to say that Normano's not.
Yeah.
But I always say that Norm looks like a little baby bird in a nest.
Oh, and that's sweet. Yeah. So is he a? I don't want to talk about Normano.
No.
But you know what? Now
all
I have
roads lead to dick jokes. Right?
Yes. Well, it was interesting because I remember being young. I don't know how young, but John was with his previous girlfriend, and she I go, oh, can I look at your wallet? Because she had pictures in her wallet. I'm like, sure. And I'm sure she had forgotten this, but she had a Polaroid of my uncle totally buck naked, you know, standing all proud answering a phone. And I'm like,
shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Yeah, and I'm like, first off, kids wouldn't know what a Polaroid picture was, or the fact that he had like an actual phone in his hand, like with a cord.
What is that?
And gratefully, I mean, like memory serves me correctly, I believe. For that 100th of 1 second, because I'm like, I do not want to see this.
Right, right.
This
right.
is not right.
Right.
I go, I think everything looked long everywhere.
Yeah.
I think he just looked like, okay, he got big legs and big arms and big everything. I'm like, okay, good enough. This is like, more than I need to know.
You
and then I turned
eyes.
The picture, like, yeah. And I didn't mention it.
And oh, so good of you.
Oh, hell, I wasn't going to mention it. There are things you don't need to mention.
Right.
What would that conversation be like? Well, hi, Carol. Yeah. Oh, like, I don't know if you need me to see this or not, but I just saw my uncle naked and now I am scarred for life. I love to discuss this 40 years from now and talk about it on a podcast. Is that cool with you? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? You know, and she's like, okay, we'll do this. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Normano was getting a haircut at Sport Clips yesterday.
Oh, good for him.
And
treating himself.
He said that there was a guy in there with like four little boys, and they mm-hmm. were all taking turns in the, you know, getting their hair cut and stuff. And he goes, look, he said, it looked like the 6-year-old had Julie and I had bought him a little Sherpa sweater.
Yeah.
And Normano just loves this Sherpa thing. It's real, because Norm's always cold.
Yeah.
Always cold. It's the blood thinners. I don't really know, but.
Which he's no longer on.
No, but he cannot get warm enough ever. You know, he's like a little girl now. You know, oh, I'm so cold. But so we got him this great big Sherpa sweater. And he said that one of the, like, the little 6-year-old boy at the thing had his little same Sherpa sweater on.
Aw, sweet.
As Normano.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because you were sitting there with your legs crossed and you bent over and you looked at him and you said, Normano, I thought we agreed that that would be an inside sweater. and because you assumed that they were both wearing the same Sherpa sweater.
Yeah.
oh, that's great. And he goes, no, I wasn't. He goes, I know not to wear my Sherpa sweater outside. And then he goes, I got so many things that are inside. He goes, I got to have my inside voice that I can't say. I have inside opinions that I can't talk about that's outside. Right. And he started listing all the things that
he
was privileged to say inside the yes. house or privileged to wear inside the house.
Yes.
But that outside, he could not do that. And well, I thought, well, I guess this is part of the best life ever scenario.
It is, because honestly, he looks great. I'm almost thinking that I need to hire you two to talk to me about that. There are some pants I have that are floods.
Yes.
And but they're the most comfortable pants in the whole wide world.
Right.
And those should just be only inside pants.
Yes.
The problem is sometimes my inside pants are like, you're like, let's get going. I'm like, oh, but I got inside pants on. Oh, screw it. You know, yeah. I'll just push them down a little bit further or whatever.
That doesn't work. Though.
Doesn't work. Not one bit.
I'll always say to Julie, she'll go, oh, how's my hair look for tonight? Everything looks good, but
why are you wearing floods?
Those floods.
I go, they're so comfortable. You know, it's so interesting though. Like, what if you gave someone your life for a year?
Yeah.
And you had to do whatever they told you to do for a whole year. I wonder really what your life would look like at the end of the year.
Especially if you gave it to your mom.
I know. Like if I just gave you my and I couldn't Jewish say mom. I couldn't say no. I couldn't say no.
Oh, I love that.
I know, I'm wondering.
And the new year is just upon us.
I'm almost thinking, what if I gave you 30 days? We could have a discussion
about
it.
Oh, now it's down to 30.
Okay, I'll give you a whole year. But I'd have to give you, I would like some, we'd talk about it first.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, I'm wondering if I could just release it, you know?
I remember. Resistance. We were living in Wooddale. I don't know how old you were. But I said, hey, Jill, come to my bedroom and sit in my bed. And I had my big makeup kit there.
Yeah.
I go, let's play makeup. And you went, no.
No.
I don't like makeup. Yeah, no. I go, can I do your hair at least? No.
No.
No. And that was it. That was the last time I ever.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. You should have had more girls. You should have had more kids. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I've got a daughter that doesn't like this stuff.
Doesn't like makeup or doing your hair.
Yeah.
Wears floods.
I know, this is horrible. And yet I don't look horrible with my makeup on. I don't look.
No, you look like yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I don't look horrible without makeup.
I don't look horrible with makeup either. You know what I'm saying?
No, like for me, I look like, if you've got the flu. If I don't have makeup on.
That's not true. That's not true.
You're not feeling well today.
I think because I've always not worn makeup, people just, this is how she looks.
Yeah, you look at, that's how you look.
Yeah, this is how I look. But if you're always wearing makeup and then you one day decide, I'm not working wearing makeup, you're like, oh, you look different.
Well, I mean, I like wearing, I'm going to give a plug here for Christina Cosmetics because it comes in just one little compact.
Yeah.
It's the compact and a brush.
There you go.
And you just swirl it on.
Yeah.
Get your base. You can, and there's like four different, you know, colors that all coordinate. And then if you want to do like an individual, there's a little rosiness for cheeks.
There you go.
There's a little brownness for like some eyeshadow.
Yeah.
There's a little thing like you can tint your lips. The only thing that you might need would be like a little bit of mascara or something.
Yeah.
You know, but you feel like you can go to the grocery store. You can, you know, you don't feel like somebody sees you and you go, oh, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You're not feeling well. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I mean, I wonder, you always say if you know who you are and you play with those rules, you can be successful.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. I just don't know who I am anymore. That's why I'm saying youth is wasted on the young. I truly knew who I was.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was a writer.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be a builder.
Right.
You know, I wanted to be a householder, certainly.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, I'm going back to, we looked up the other day how to write movies for Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can do that.
Yeah. But here's again.
Do that with my eyes.
Here's the problem, though. All those things that you want to do require someone else partaking into your dream.
Well, I mean, I have I have a tub full of screenplays and books.
Yes, you do.
I have. It's not that I haven't written these things.
Exactly.
It's just that they haven't been formally published.
Right.
I mean, I've got 5 books on Amazon right now.
Right, exactly.
Well, we do.
Right. And so you go to yourself like, okay, this is cool. And
I'll just go and read my work again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Norm said last night, we were talking, and he goes, I know we were watching Glow Up, which is a British new thing that just dropped on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's about these makeup artists, these young kids trying to break into the industry.
Yeah.
And he just said, oh, and so one of the episodes is on this, they meet this YouTube sensation, YouTube influencer. She started when she was 14. She's 21 now, and she does these makeup challenges.
Got it.
Over 200 million followers.
Ah, so, 200
yeah,
million.
Yeah. So she's all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, of course.
And Norm's watching her, and he's like, how come you guys didn't really, quote unquote, make it?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. Well, and the truth is,
ask Adam Carolla.
Yeah. I mean, because you go, God, there's nothing. And that's the thing when you go, okay, I hear this person, I go in, yeah, and. Mm-hmm. And.
Yeah, the makeup challenge for this week was applying makeup underwater.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. But 500 million people will try this week.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Go underwater and put on lipstick.
Yeah. Mm. Crazy talk.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It is crazy. And
youth is wasted on the young.
Well, and I give her credit for every day putting something on, right? Mm-hmm. And for
one,
a year.
One of the artists was doing some makeup because they all have competitions in this show. And the three judges got together and went, oh, my God. Oh, how horrible. He's doing Kardashian. That was like.
Oh, my God.
It was like, oh, he's doing Kardashian. Well, whatever that meant.
Whatever that meant. What did that mean?
They knew exactly what it meant.
Oh, my God. And yet they're just like, they're like swimming in it, right?
The money?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I think that it was a makeup, some kind of a makeup challenge. And he wasn't rising to the occasion. He was doing Kardashian. Whatever that meant.
Whatever that meant to them. Yeah. Wow. That's bizarre.
What do you think it means? Blank palette? I don't know.
Blank stare. I mean, blank palette.
It's like, yeah. Staring. Not. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Wow.
How dare they say anything about the Kardashians?
Well, you know, because...
How dare they?
Because you don't know... Well, here's what you don't really...
They're American idols.
You don't know where their pop of fame is, mm-hmm. right? Where their tribe is at. Mm-hmm. Everybody's tribe. Mm-hmm. It's like they're loved. People are loved by this and hated by that. And I mm-hmm. guess that's what a tribe is.
Yeah,
is that you have people who love you, and then you have the anti-tribe.
Yeah,
and if you don't have a tribe, people don't give a shit either way.
Yeah,
you know.
You're just like Saturday Night Live was doing the little bit of a bit. They're all gathering at their Christmas table, and they're saying, "Yeah, Trump's getting impeached and reelected."
Yeah.
that's enough, enough said.
I think,
like Norm said, he's never seen a sign that says, you know, 2020 vote Democratic, you know.
No, I've not either. And maybe because we're too, it's too
early, too soon.
No, too saturated, or like, and there's not a real clear vision. Mm-hmm. And also, I think people are more afraid of the unknown mm-hmm. than they are of anything else. Mm-hmm. And even though this has been the craziest years ever, mm-hmm. and we certainly haven't experienced the abundance that some other people have.
Yeah.
I mean, we've lost gigs and things like that and so forth. But when I know it. They always say you don't, you know, you love what you know, even the devil you know, than the angel you don't know.
Right.
You know, you're like, okay.
Hey, is that George Bernard Shaw as well?
I'm sure it was him.
It's better that the dance with the devil you know than the angel you don't know.
Exactly. Mm. I'm certainly. Because that devil, man, he's cute. I'm not talking about Trump either. That's just not right. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm curious how it's going to be. Listen, I live in Illinois. I'm sure we're going to go Democratic this year, you know.
Except that where we live, it's total Trump all the way.
Yeah, yeah. And
I was at the dentist's office this week getting my teeth cleaned. And our dentist's office has TVs in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And so she leaned me back and It was nothing but impeachment. And I said, really, can you just turn on something else? I have to stare at this grinding, you know, this tit for tat for tit. And it just was like, even I'm annoyed. And I'm pretty much interested in politics.
This is what I'm annoyed as well, because I would like to we talked about the truth. Mm-hmm. You said earlier about the mm-hmm. truth of, you know, being the youth and you know your truth then.
Yeah.
And at this stage of the game, I don't know the truth. No. I can hear two people have such opposing views.
Right.
And on the situation, I'm like, well, what is it? There's got to be a truth here somewhere, right? Yeah. And, you know, like someone will say, like, and I didn't vote for Trump. This is the expert they picked out from the Republican side or whatever. And he says, I didn't vote for President Trump. I don't feel he's doing that great of a job. However, there is not enough evidence to impeach him. And mm-hmm. if we impeach him on this, mm-hmm. you will have set a precedence that almost any president can be impeachable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, great. Like President Clinton was impeached, I think, just for lying to Congress, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Well, you know, Trump won't have that happen to him because he'll never testify in front of Congress.
He'll never.
It's like, hey, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not a moron. I'm not going to testify.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think I am?
I'll say I will.
But... yeah, I'll prolong that. He's in his whole life prolonging.
Everything.
Yeah. He's not a good guy.
Yeah.
He's not a guy.
He should invent some kind of condom called Prolong.
Exactly. I'm sure he has. It's probably he's on Viagra. I mean, it's very interesting to me. Like, I've heard stories about him before he became president. You know how he would have people buy their condos in Trump buildings mm-hmm. When they're building it, right? You know, people start buying, get a cheaper price, right?
Mm-hmm. And so by the time it's built,
it's worth more money.
Yeah.
And then he'll renege on the contract or ask for more money because it's worth that. And mm-hmm. he's like, well, no, I bought it already for this price. Because mm-hmm. no, that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll go, but I have a contract. Nope, your contract in there states that we can change the price.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, that's a dumbass contract. And like, you know, right. Dumbass contract that you signed. And so you realize, and I think he won that court case because that was the game he always played, which is, I'm always going to give me a back end out.
Yeah.
Or an out, back end, mm-hmm. end out, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Back door out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right.
He comes in the back end. and so, you know, I don't like him, per se. I also know that, you know, things that have been happening are been happening a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, not just him. I also know that, you know, I wish I could be told the truth about this impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we have more than enough evidence?
Mm-hmm.
And is this evidence really? Is this what presidents have done all along?
Yeah.
And if that's the case,
and most people are convinced that. That truth is nothing.
Is nothing.
Is nothing. I mean, you think like, and you ask for evidence, and you think about people who have gone to jail for a lot less.
Oh, my
and
God.
Not done, you know, not committed that.
Oh, my God.
That thing.
Yeah.
So we really don't know what truth is. We may know what a fact is.
Yeah.
But
and then the, how you weave. The truth you're right.
Is here's pliable. A
fact. Now tell me the truth.
Yeah.
I go, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was interesting. I'm just now starring the second season of Jack Ryan on Amazon.
Yeah.
Doug and I watched it last night.
Yeah.
We also saw Knives Out. Now, I'm going to say, not going to tell you much about it because you need to go in kind of with a clear palate. It's a really good mystery Perot kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's no explosions.
Right.
You're getting a lot of, it's almost like a murder she wrote. Mm-hmm. Like you get to hear the clues and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it all takes place in a mansion for the most part.
Okay.
So you're not getting, you know, wide scenery.
Right.
You know, I remember watching the Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
And Brennan directed, I think, Richard Brennan. I think he directed the most recent one. He was married to Emma Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he really...
Oh, Branagh.
Something like that.
Yeah, not Brennan, but yeah.
But he really wanted the scenery to be expansive.
To be part of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. This is a very tight scene. It takes place in a mansion. A little bit off scene here and there. I mean, mm-hmm. But it's a great movie. And... The excitement builds the longer you can mm-hmm. be in there. Doug totally adored the movie. Mm. Like, this is really a fun movie.
Mm.
What am I talking about? Oh, yes. Yeah, so I'm watching
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. And he's, Jack Ryan's teaching a class at the CIA or something. I don't know. And he says he does some newscasts and he makes everybody listen to the newscasts. And they're talking about China, talking about Russia, mm-hmm. talking about North Korea. And in the background, a little thing about Venezuela and, you know, and he goes, okay, raise your hand. Which one, who thinks Russia is the biggest problem? If you just listen to the news.
Right.
Russia's the biggest problem.
Yeah. Oh, I love that line.
And he raised his, people raised their hand.
I saw this, yeah, a couple months ago. Yeah.
What about China?
Yeah.
And then he goes, I think North Korea is the biggest problem.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who thought Venezuela is the biggest problem?
And like nobody. Nobody.
And I said, I told Doug, I go, oh, I totally do.
Yeah.
I go, it is in our continent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in our hemisphere.
Yeah.
I go, also, they have a shitload of oil reserves.
Did you hear what he said?
And
that
then
was exactly
he said,
what he said.
He goes, who has the most oil reserves?
Yes.
Who has the most mineral reserves? Yeah. And I literally had just said that to Doug
yeah.
2 seconds later.
Oh, my
earlier.
God.
And so you go, so what is the truth?
Yeah.
What's a fact?
Yeah.
And what's the truth?
And a lot of it's distraction.
A lot of it's distraction.
Yeah.
And a lot of it means nothing to your life.
Yeah. So that's why I always go back to my old standby, which yeah. is being the best householder
yeah.
you can.
Well, you go
and
back.
And a householder is a person who takes care of their family,
yeah.
takes care of their household, and, you know, you can, you know, have an eye to the outside world.
Right.
And you may know how to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Right.
That kind of thing. But ultimately, it has to be about your family and your community, really.
Yeah.
It's like first your neighborhood.
First yourself.
Yeah.
Then your
yeah.
family, then yeah. your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And if you got all that shit in order, then try and tackle the world's problems. And by if everybody just did those things,
right.
there wouldn't be many world problems, you know. I find it fascinating because, you know, Jordan talks about that. Jordan Pierce talks about taking care of yourself first before
right.
you start criticizing the rest of the world
right.
or hating the rest of the
right.
world. Because he's all about you can have a distorted thought process of blaming the world for the problems, you know, or hating humanity enough.
Right.
And then therefore to you must cleanse humanity
right.
to solve the problem.
Yeah, that's a total Doug issue.
Right. Yes, that's true. Everybody's pissing me off. They all need to go. But, you know, we've heard this
but that's how they can, excuse me, justify.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like you can't, you know, you shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house. I mean, that's not a saying or
yeah.
is that? And then what's the saying in the Bible about that? Like, you know.
He who's without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, excuse me. Who's going to pick up that stone first? You know, like, oh, it won't be me.
Yeah.
I'm full
and
of
And the
sin.
First guy that does it. Liar.
Yeah,
that's a
liar.
Sin. Lying's a sin.
Like, exactly. Trust me. That stone's staying on the ground, people. That stone is staying on the ground. So, you know, so you get that. And so you just go, oh, I brought that up because who is that? Is her name Gretchen? That young girl that stood in the front of you, I think it was the UN.
Yes.
Saying, how dare you? How dare you not take our planet more seriously?
Right.
And, you know,
right.
you know, shame on you, adults.
Right.
You
right.
know, how horrible
it
you
became
are.
Became Time's Person of the Year.
Yes, exactly. Lovely. She's getting a bit of a blowback, not just from the president, but from other people.
Uh-huh.
Because there's nothing worse than having a 12-year-old or 30
scream at you.
And yeah. you're like, okay, give me 10 years on your first and let me. And like.
I don't want to shut her down.
No.
Because, you know,
but
at 12
she
o'clock,
get that privilege?
I couldn't even say shit in front of my parents,
right.
much less talk at the UN.
Yes.
So good on her.
And then I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that both her parents are actors. I don't know if that's true or not. Which kind of makes sense because, like, I wouldn't have had the confidence to or the hubris
right.
to think that I had enough knowledge
right.
of the whole situation
right.
to complain about this
right.
in front of the UN. And how did she get to do that? I mean, how did
right.
she – how did they get, pluck her out?
Yeah. What kind of lottery did she win?
I'm grateful that she's
she
able
blow?
To stand up to the pressure because there's going to be – there's blowback. You know, there's blowback. There's always blowback. But
I just said, who did she blow?
And I said blowback.
Yeah.
That's funny. She
yeah.
blew herself. But I find it interesting because I'm at this moment feeling very positive about the world itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
Well, it's Christmas.
It is Christmas. Yeah. There's more lights outside. Twinkly,
when,
twinkly.
When Dad got his haircut yesterday, he said, "Can I have some money for my haircut?" And I, you know, gave him the money for his haircut. And he goes, "Oh, this is too much." I go, "There's a tip involved." He goes, "Oh, this is too much." I go, "It's Christmas.
Yeah,
give your haircut girl a dip." Okay. Okay, Chrissy.
All right.
So, but I wanted to finish my story about when I was getting my teeth cleaned. It's not much of a story now, but you know, she's laid me back.
Yeah.
And I begged her to turn off the impeachment.
Yeah.
And then she said, "Well..." She goes, "Well, what can we watch, you know, that would be pleasing to you?" And I just said, "Oh, you know, it's anything with puppies," I said. She goes, "Well, okay, Animal Planet." And she turns Animal Planet on. She lays me back. And now she's like, you know, doing the hype thing to get the teeth cleaned and everything. And they're performing surgery on this big, like, labradoodle thing.
Oh, jeez.
And they're opening him up. Oh. And, like, and, yeah, I just, like, had to close my eyes. It was worse than the impeachment.
Yeah.
But that's what I want. That's the only thing I wanted to share. It's like, I went from bad to worse.
Exactly. They were working on a puppy. That's horrible.
It was a big dog.
Yeah, big dog.
It was a big dog.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But he did wake up afterwards.
Okay,
and
I
stayed with it long enough. And not only did he survive, but he left, you know, with his owners wearing the cone of shame.
The
huge cone of shame.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've tried to put the cone of shame on my dog. It doesn't work. I don't know.
He takes it off somehow.
Somehow he's like, "This is not going to fly."
Yeah. If he was ever like one of those, you know, those basement families that, you know, you kidnap and you start a basement family in your basement. If he was a basement dog and he was chained to a bed or something, he'd get out.
Oh, yes.
He'd wrangle out the handcuffs.
For sure he would. Yeah. He'd be smart.
Yeah.
It'd be
magical. You don't want to say anything about my basement families?
No, I have nothing to say about it.
You know those families that live in people's basements? I saw watching Magic for Humans.
Yeah.
And Justin Willman's the magician. And he's doing this one trick where he's outside having a... outside of a white van, and he has flowers, and he's asking people if they want flowers. And at some point, he talks to them and he asks them if they want to come inside the van. And literally, I saw three or four people just go ahead. Sure, I'll go inside your white panel van.
That's fucking crazy.
Sure, yeah. And then you become a basement family.
Well,
that's how it happens.
It's so bizarre. I remember watching Oprah years ago when she still had her show. And they had a safety expert on. And one of the biggest complaints is women opening the doors for people who knock on the door, front door.
Yeah.
And they just, even after they told them, like, how horrible this is.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally, this is the easiest way for a man to get you.
Right.
The same people they told them about, the people still did it.
Still opened the door.
And they have them videotaped.
Yeah.
It's like, look at how wide she just opened that door to the stranger.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Yeah.
And then go,
now we have Ring.
Now we have Ring. Hey, you, what's going on? Who is this?
Why are you at my door?
Yeah, hello.
Get away.
Get
just
away.
Just leave the pizza there.
Yeah. The money's under the flower pot.
Yeah.
Let's go. There's no tip, miss. You don't deserve one. Oh, no. I know the price of the pizza already. The tip is included. It's taken care of. Leave the pizza and walk away.
Yeah. Well, you open the door to anybody. But Elliot's always right behind you.
I'm like, yeah, I have no option.
You have a dog barking.
Barking. Like, I have to literally get my fandangle myself out of the house to get, because he's just right there barking at the door. You know, I'm like, let someone try and come in.
Yeah, exactly.
Let him go in. Oh, this is the house I want to go into. You know, that would be awesome. But see, it's interesting because you always, I remember being a little kid, you guys would attempt to train us not
Absolutely.
To get into vans.
We had scenarios.
We'd be walking to school.
We
you'd
would
be driving
have
next to us
acting
in a van,
scenarios.
And you're like, hey, little girl, you want some candy? Hey, little girl, I got a puppy in my van. You want to come and get a puppy? And we're like, no.
No.
No. I go, and then a teacher would stop by and like, hey, Julie, what's going on here? Just my parents doing scenarios to stop us from not going into strangers' vans. We're rehearsing Stranger Danger. Like, okay. I get it.
We would come up with some great decorations too. Like I would wear like funny hat and glasses. And I go, please help me get in the van. I lost my puppy and we can search together. It'll be so much better.
Well, and the nice thing about it is that at the tender age of 9, when you guys would drop me and my brother, who was only 7, at the rated R movies, you know, for a double feature because you guys need some time alone.
Sex is okay.
It was more violent. It was never sex when it was rated R double. It was always a violent.
Oh, was it violent?
Yeah, it was always like a couple horror flicks. And then and Dad had to buy a ticket. This is how much you wanted alone time. Dad would go in and buy a ticket, so we all go in together, and then he'd just sneak out the door.
Yeah.
But all that prep prepared me when that one guy was behind us at the movie theater being all dicky, making kissy noises and doing weird stuff.
Yeah.
And I just stood up, grabbed my brother, and I moved to where there were other adults.
Exactly.
Let
him try now.
Let him try now. You know, let him try and be all kissy facey and all that stuff. You know,
good for you.
I couldn't just call home because mom and dad needed time alone.
Because there's no cell phones in those days.
Yeah, there was. I had to go.
Unless they were kind of like 3 feet big. And
no, we always had to do. You always let us call collect, though. I thought it was always nice.
Yeah.
We never had a quarter. But you go, just call us collect. We'll come pick you up.
You know, alone time.
Yeah, it was worth it.
You know, that's something that parents just don't get enough of.
No.
You got to figure out ways. We used to go to the Holiday Inn. No, Howard Johnson's.
Yes.
On the weekends.
Yes.
And we'd save all of our coins so that you guys could play Pac-Man or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that we could have alone time.
Exactly. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You guys were in your 20s when you had us, so you were having sex.
Oh, yeah. Youth is wasted on the young.
Exactly. See, now parents are having them at 40.
Yeah.
They're like, they're so exhausted. Alone time literally means we are sleeping. Alone time. We don't care. It doesn't matter. No one's having sex. We're tired. But when you're in your 20s, you still kind of like fantasize about like, oh, get a little alone time. Yay. And also, you had Dad fixed right after Greg, so You didn't have to worry about having a third. You're just like, yeah, we can have sex. No problem.
That's funny he called it fixed.
Well, he was fixed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, kinda.
That's his inside.
His inside voice. His inside game.
Yeah.
He probably felt like that was the best thing, except that there were times when, like, probably that you wish you would have had a third.
Yeah, or more.
Or more.
Yeah.
Three or more?
Well, there kind of been times where I had just glimpses that we could have, as a family, had a boatload of kids, and it would have been fun.
Right.
Because we were just goofy enough.
And the weird part is, though, I hope we could have.
But you know, out of that boatload of kids, one would have been a serial killer.
One would have held the energy that, you know, the whole family would have had to come around. You know, there's always one that needs it more.
Yeah.
But it's like in our family, we have a pretty nice balance. Mom and dad, boy and girl.
Yeah.
Close enough together. We all like each other. Like, right. I like Greg.
Yeah.
I genuinely like him. I think he's a good, nice, fun person. I mean, I think he's unique. You know, I just like him.
Yeah.
I think he likes
me. That helps.
Yeah, it helps. You know, you get another child in here. I'm like, am I going to fucking like this kid too?
Yeah, we're going to like this person?
Yeah, am I going to like this person?
I always say that it's, you know, you can love, it's for your kids, it's, of course you love them.
Yeah.
But it does help to be in love with them.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm not sure that maybe in that boatload of kids, maybe there'd be one I wouldn't be in love with.
I would think that was a good
idea. But she might let me put makeup on her.
That's what I thought. I mean, you know, you might not be in love, but maybe she would be the star of the family. You know,
yeah.
She would be the one that was a breakout star on YouTube.
Yeah.
She would be the
one. She'd let me be her momager.
Exactly.
Then I'd have to like her then.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
And poor Julie.
And I think that
what would you do?
Who knows? I probably would be not here. I would have done something totally different.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Would I still be a trucker with Dad? You know, I don't know.
we always say you do what your parents do.
Exactly.
And so Greg's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And you're a trucker.
Exactly.
But he was a trucker at first.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and you were a stay-at-home mom.
Exactly.
Taking care of me and Dad.
Exactly. You do what you see. You do what you see. You do what you mimic. And because it wasn't a bad thing, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is fine. This is fine, you know? What are you going to do? So, girlfriend, we're getting close to the holiday season. We got one more podcast for Christmas.
Wow.
Time of this year is going by so fast. I think it's been very interesting because I have been overly reflective about this year.
Yeah.
And I had this year
overly.
Is
overly. Me too.
Yeah. It's and I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm over
Are you
it.
Over it? Yeah.
I'm overly reflective. I'm over it. I'm over myself. I'm just like done. Done, 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 done.
I asked Norm, what did you get me for Christmas? Or are you getting? And he went, what would you like? So I realize he hasn't even thought about me.
Yeah. Well, no, but you also said we're not getting together for anything for Christmas.
I always say that.
Yeah, you always say that.
But do I ever give him something for Christmas?
Yeah, you typically
always give him something.
Well, because what you do is you always give him stuff.
Yeah.
Because he allows you to dress him. He allows you to put makeup on him. And so you get him stuff all year round
I
anyway.
I wanted somebody that could put makeup
and
on.
And then all of a sudden you just call it your Christmas present.
Yeah.
Here's your Christmas present. Here it is.
I know. I guess it sounds a little manipulative.
Well, no, it's not manipulative.
So where were you going with this Christmas thing? Where were you going with it?
No, I just have a couple minutes left of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
And I don't have anything much more to say. I feel...
The next time we talk, it will be Christmas Eve.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think last week was my birthday, or that was before my birthday. Now I'm officially birthday over.
Yeah. Thank God. It was hard.
Thanks. No problem. Why was it so hard for you?
It was easy. I thought it was going to be hard, you know, because I thought you were going to be that day really, really, really reflective.
Yeah.
In a negative way.
Yeah.
And you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
It was easy.
Yeah. It was. I just, you know.
And I'm glad you chose that.
Yeah. You get, at some point, your brain just goes, so what? Big deal.
Yeah,
move on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Just move on. Move on. Check. Move on.
Is that what we're, is that, that's going to be, is that going to be the takeaway for today?
Just move on.
Just move on.
Yes. And listening to our last podcast, that was really funny. So if you listen to last week's podcast, it was hysterical. This one doesn't feel as funny.
Unlike today's.
Yeah. Unlike today's, which doesn't feel.
The energy's kind of down. We can always do this one over.
Yes, we could. Yes, we could.
But we're probably too lazy. We don't want to work that hard because we already did work hard.
That's right. Well, because sometimes you just don't know if it's going to be any better.
No.
You know, but we could do it again. We'll see. So if you hear this,
there's somebody at the front door, Julie.
Is there?
Donald Trump.
Hey,
are you gonna let him in?
No, he's already in my life 24/7.
Yeah,
you know, I'm still concerned like about the volcano that happened in, you know, New Zealand or wherever hell that happened at, and I haven't seen one picture about it.
Oh yeah, and we don't even know how many are dead.
A lot.
Just a lot.
Well, I guess it's just an island that has an active volcano. That's all it is. And people go and visit all the time. And this is just not their luck.
And the day that they chose to visit, that was the day.
That was the day. I mean, you just don't know.
The thing is, though, all right. If that's really the truth, here's what I don't get. A person can buy a farmer's almanac, and it's going to tell them the weather 2 years from now.
Right.
If they can, you know, if they can plow on the night of the full moon.
Right.
And yet... You can't tell me that they can't know when an active volcano is going to somewhat explode.
Yes. Well, supposedly our Super Cordova, whatever it's called, Caldrona, whatever it's called under Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
Yellowstone.
Jellystone?
Yellowstone.
Now you just need some protein.
What the hell is it called?
Yellowstone.
It is called Yellowstone. Yeah. Yellowstone? Like
You're thinking Jellystone for our little Lodge Cottage cabin.
Is it called Yellow?
It's Yellowstone.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Do you remember when Greg went to Yellowstone?
Yeah.
And we went into this field and we bought yellow paint and we found some bunch of rocks.
That's right.
And we painted them yellow.
I go, we're
here
too.
And we said, we're here too. And then he went and he goes, well, he's at a geyser.
Yeah.
Or at the geyser. And at the firehouse, they were doing that spray of water.
We took a geyser too.
We went, here's our geyser. Like, we had a staycation.
You don't have to travel 1,000 miles to see
this. We don't have to.
So when they go away to Italy, are we going to be able to figure that one out too?
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna have a pizza
pasta,
and I'm gonna have it leaning outside. I go my leaning tower of Pisa. Check,
move on.
Exactly. So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
It was pretty good. No, it was great.
It was great.